You probably noticed the readings this week are quite short. And the reason for that is we're talking about the Holy Trinity, which is a really complex subject, and this is going to be a very long and complex sermon. I'm kidding. It just happens to be that way. But this is Trinity Sunday, and we did hear from the Gospel of John. And interestingly enough, we've got the reading from the Gospel of John this particular Sunday is not one of the best can choose from to talk about the Holy Trinity. But sometimes I think when we think about the Holy Trinity, the problem that we do is we just overthink it. It's one God in three parts, three equal parts, and however you like to divide those three equal parts for you is really fine for me. I've told people before when I was doing my conversion, I was intrigued about the Holy Trinity and really wasn't sure what to make of it, so I run across this book, The Holy Trinity Explained, or something like that. And by the time I got to the end of the book, I was much more confused than when I started, so I'm not going to recommend doing that. But as I was preparing for today, I did, as you might imagine, come across a joke about the Holy Trinity, so I'll just share that with you. It's a paraphrase from the Gospels. Jesus said, "Who do people say that I am?" His disciples replied, "Some say that you are John the Baptist, returned from the dead. Others say Elijah. Others said the prophets." Jesus replied, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "Thou art the Logos, existing in the Father as traditionally and then. By an act of his will, being generated in consideration of the various functions by which God is related to his creation, but only because Scripture speaks of a Father, Son, of a Holy Spirit, each member of the Trinity being co-equal with every other member, and each acting inseparably and with interpreting every other member only with an economic subordination with God, but causing no division which would make no substance no longer simple." And Jesus answered, "What?" As I say, sometimes I think we overthink the Holy Trinity, but in this particular gospel passage, John here is focusing upon the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and in particular, the truth of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit in the whole of the Bible is described in many different ways. It's described as revelation. It's described as wisdom. It's described as a part of the Trinity. But in each and every case, described as the truth as well, which we'll go into today. But in each and every case, it is also very distinctly described as female. So God the Father, the Mother, and Jesus. So we're focusing upon the truth, and it says the truth part that I'm going to focus upon today is because John is writing to a community instead of individuals, and he's writing to the community, and he's saying the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will give you, the community, the truth that you need. And so I need to underline here that John is saying that the Holy Spirit is guiding the community as opposed to the individual. Rather than saying that the main benefit of the Holy Spirit will come to individuals, he's saying the community is what needs to get together to make sense of the Holy Spirit and to find its truth. Now, we need to talk a little bit about what we mean about individual and community in the sense of when Jesus was talking about it. Individual had a very different sense than what we have of it today. We have individualism and individual being defined by philosophers in the 18th, 19th, and 20th and 21st century, very different than what the feeling was back in Jesus' day 2,000 years ago, when an individual really wasn't all that important. I have to remember that the Israelites grew up in communities that were largely extended families. Your neighbor was not someone you did not know. Your neighbor was likely your cousin or your grandmother or that sort of thing. And everyone around you was related to you in some sort of way. So the sense of community was very strong, and the sense of individual, not so much. And certainly at the time when John was writing, he was writing to the Christian community, and the Christian community was going through a very hard time, splitting from the synagogues, becoming their own entity, and the problems that they were having with that. So he says, the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. And here, John doesn't mean the traditional sense of truth that we talk about, such as facts. The sky is blue because there's a refraction, there's gases in the air, and the light reflects in and makes it blue. He's not talking about truth in terms of an experimental way. I know if I hold an apple and drop it, it will fall because of gravity. He's not talking about that sort of truth. So what exactly does he mean by the truth that he is talking about? In order to get that sense, we have to go back to one of my most loved passages in the Bible and anywhere in literature, to the prologue of John, and just hear me and see what he says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came into what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will or of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of God the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. So truth, here in this sense, in this reference, John is saying that Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, and everything in the middle is the truth. John is also saying the truth into which the community will be guided is Jesus himself, and he is the one who will provide the clarity to his teachings, clarity to his meaning, the clarity to his conviction regarding who Jesus really is. Jesus, in fact, said to his disciples, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth." Cannot bear the truth right now. There are so many instances where that can happen. I saw a child the other day in a supermarket wanting a candy, and he pulled it off the shelf and gave it to his mother and said, "I want this," and she wasn't going to give him the candy, and he could not bear that truth. Many other of that, teenagers wanting to borrow the car, but they can't. Teachers wanting to make students study, but somehow they can't. And then there's the other things that we find hard to bear and find truth is in our lives, such as war, natural disasters, terminal illnesses, grief, suffering, and pain. But John is saying here the same thing to the Christian community. Obviously, in this sense, and particularly in this sense, it was in the case of the disciples at the Last Supper. They could not bear the truth that Jesus was telling them about his suffering to come, his death to come. John is saying to the community, just like to the disciples after the Pentecost, after the resurrection, that the Spirit of truth will guide them. John is saying to us, as God is saying to us today, that we will be guided as well by the Holy Spirit, with the primary realization that it is Jesus himself, the Son of God, who is guiding us. What John really wants to do in this passage is encourage the community to have a new and meaningful encounters with the resurrected, Jesus. He wants the community to grow in spirit. It is not that there will be new truth. Remember, Jesus was the truth, period. But he insists that the teachings of Jesus, the meaning of Jesus, should require thoughtful, ongoing interpretation inside the community in which we are a part of. So John is asking, what does Jesus mean in our time? What does it mean in our time to discuss things that are important to us? For example, we've decided as a region in the fall we will be having workshops on MAID, which is an acronym for medically assisted death, which is a new law in Canada, and that brings up many, many issues. Legal, spiritual, philosophical, personal. And we as a community in this church, we as a community as Anglicans, we as a community as Christians, we as a community as Canadians need to have discussions about what that means for us, what it is, how we can work that through. And John is saying, lean on the Spirit of truth, which is the meaning, the life, and the teachings of Jesus. Lean on those and have those discussions and find the guidance. So it turns out that Jesus' ministry and his teachings are important. They come to the forefront. We need to study them. We need to know them. We need to think about them for ourselves and for our community. And the Spirit will come with a new truth, a truth that is based on the message and the meaning of Jesus. Notice that Jesus never coerced. He never imposed his way. Rather, he always sought to persuade. And so, in so doing today, Jesus, the Spirit of truth, will guide us as a community on our way. And so on this Trinity Sunday, what can I give for a definition of the Trinity for me? It would be this, to throw it out there. It is the Father and the Mother of us all guiding us towards the truth. And the truth is the peace, joy, hope, and love of the truth of Jesus. And as Jesus said to all of us, the truth will set us free. Amen.